Greetings and welcome to episode 50. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your number one podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am an award-winning educator, motivational speaker, 6 times Amazon best-selling author, magazine contributor, and coach. In addition, I am the president, CEO, and founder of my own educational consulting company, Dr. Essie Speaks LLC. I assist you in elevating your leadership skills so that you can turn your challenges into opportunities, failures into successes, ensure that responsibilities are fulfilled, and enhance your capacity to lead. Today's podcast will help you to learn how to impact the lives of students, and educators will learn about effective strategies to engage students. My guest has a range of experiences and knowledge in making a powerful impact in the field of education and in the lives of others. He is doing some awesome things to make a difference. He is passionate, dedicated, committed, and continues to elevate the minds of educators and students. My special guest is none other than Mr. Glenn Morning. Let me share a little bit more about his journey. Glenn Morning is an educator and author. Crunchy Life Kids books are his most popular work that consist of a 5-part series written for children ages 8 and up. As the oldest of his mother's 5 children, Glenn's books tie in life memories, a spin on traditional fairy tales, as well as his imagination to create heartfelt and mesmerizing stories. Glenn was blessed with the opportunity to lead by example, where he would become the first of 2 generations to not only graduate from high school, but to complete a master's degree in pursuit of his dream of becoming a teacher. In 2005, Glenn earned a full athletic scholarship to attend the University of Connecticut, where he would make the All Big East Conference academic honor roll for 2 years in a row before graduating and attending graduate school at the University of Bridgeport. In 2010, Glenn finished his master's degree in elementary education and was named the Student Teacher of the Year at the University of Bridgeport. Just a little bit more about him before we have a conversation. At the beginning of his teaching career, Glenn worked alongside of the nationally renowned educational contributor, Dr. Steve Perry, star of the CNN special Black in America Part 2, and the host of TV One's Save Our Sons. As an elementary teacher at Capital Preparatory Magnet School in Hartford, Connecticut, Glenn managed to brilliantly inspire the lives of hundreds of students in his tenure as an educator and football coach. For the past several years, Glenn has worked as a language arts teacher, where his creativity and brilliant approaches to learning have captured national attention. Glenn has been featured in Ebony Magazine, People's Magazine, as well as other nationally recognized news and media outlets. Glenn has also written for PBS Teacher as an educational contributor. Glenn's other books include Care More Than Us, The Young People's Guide to Success, which is accompanied by the Young People's Guide to Success student workbook. These tools are great for building habits for successful futures, as well as strong social and emotional skills. Glenn has also partnered up to facilitate professional development workshops for teachers and school counselors through focusing on building culturally responsive classrooms and school communities. The couple intend on supporting and strengthening schools around the country, One Morning, and that is M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, his last name, at a time. Glenn's greatest accomplishments are not those that have occurred on the playing fields across America, but rather with his promise to his family that he has kept for the last 7 years, which was to become the motivation for his students that have come from similar circumstances. I'm gonna take a quick commercial break, and when I come back, I'll give my guest, Mr. Glenn Morning, an opportunity to share with our listening audience. As always, remember to check out my website at www.dressiespeaks.com, where you can find all my books about school transformation, school leadership, and so much more. In addition, you can check out my latest Amazon best-selling books. I'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Welcome back to Dr. Essie Speaks Education, your number one podcast host, Dr. Essie McCoy. My special guest again is Mr. Glenn Morning. First, let me say congratulations on all of your success. I know some of my listeners will benefit tremendously from our conversation today. Welcome to my show. And first, how are you doing today, Mr. Morning?
Well, thank you, Dr. McCoy, for inviting me to have a moment to share a part of my life with you and your listeners. I'm doing pretty well. We are getting ready to wrap up the month of April, heading into May, where, you know, hopefully we'll see some May flowers blooming, not only in real life, but also just in the classroom as students are finishing up fifth grade within my space working in Northern Virginia. How are you doing?
I am doing well, and thank you once again for being a special guest on my show. And I am just so amazed at you. You have so much experience from your journey from the beginning to where you are today. So please tell the listeners just a little bit more about yourself, all the wonderful things that you're doing, and some of the projects that you've been engaged in lately.
Yeah, sure. So this is only my 11th year as a language arts teacher. And regardless of whether I've been a first grade teacher in DC or a combination fourth and fifth grade teacher up in Connecticut, I have been provided so many opportunities to not only speak to and work with some awesome children across the country, but more so than anything else, I've really been poured into by some outstanding and some wonderful educators. I couldn't possibly do anything that I've been able to, accomplish or achieve without just the foundation and the support from so many wonderful people along the way. And it's basically the reason why I even got into education. So I started my career in Connecticut, where I had graduated from UConn as a former athlete, and I took all of those life lessons and I just threw them directly into the classroom space back in 2010. And since then, I've just been on a journey to continue to learn as much as possible from whoever will be, willing to share any of their techniques and strategies that have worked for them in certain situations. And I think the biggest part of what I'm currently trying to do now is just simply make sure that children and families, especially in urban environments and inner cities across the country, understand the importance of literacy from an early age. And I'm just willing to do anything and everything it takes to emphasize the importance of reading to kids and to families, as well as even some teachers in the upper grades that don't necessarily take the approach of teaching foundational skills to struggling readers.
Well, indeed, I am just elated, and you made a powerful statement, and I just want to sort of recap that. You talked about people pouring into you, and now you are pouring into them, and then the importance of reading. Trust me, from my experience and my journey in transforming schools as a school administrator, school principal, I would tell the kids all the time that reading is so essential. Read, read, read every single day. And you started in high school, of course, and went on to college and got a scholarship. So tell us a little bit more about what and how you knew what you wanted to do when you graduated from high school into college.
Yeah, so ironically enough, and you could probably contest to this as well, there are some teachers out there who didn't have the best experiences themselves in school. And to some extent, that was probably a motivating factor to later become teachers because, most great teachers have a great teacher in their life or did at one point that encouraged them to not give up on themselves. And as a student, before even becoming a high school standout athlete, there were times where I didn't really have the most confidence, not only from the academic perspective, but also even on the field of play. And it got to a point where my high school coach, who is no longer with us, Coach Davis, and a handful of other important community members up in Danbury, Connecticut, they really recognized that if they kind of just stuck with me through some of my challenging moments as a youth, that there's a potential there that could probably kind of outlast, you know, my athleticism, right? And being that someone who showed from an early age that I did enjoy learning and I was excited about getting good grades. So, you know, I had opportunities that a lot of kids kind of, you know, just pushed to the wayside. And I realized that if college football doesn't turn into an opportunity to go to the pros, that I was going to have to do something that I can enjoy doing. And more importantly, that would end up, you know, having an impact on the communities that I was not only a part of, but communities that I knew, you know, needed more guidance and more support. So it was just natural for me to always want to talk to kids and always want to talk to adults about, you know, what it was like for them as children and what they may have struggled with growing up. And I have just this one outstanding extended family member who herself, you know, she's a principal up in Connecticut, and everyone, the joke goes, if she was an actress or if she was a neurosurgeon, that I would have been an actor or a neurosurgeon, because I was just so, you know, just so grateful and impacted by her journey that I just wanted to follow in her footsteps. So, you know, it takes a village in terms of making sure that kids have what they need. But sometimes even within those environments, you know, it takes a little bit more than just a collective approach. But sometimes you need that one person that is just your champion that never, ever quits and gives up on you. So that's basically, you know, how it came to be in terms of me, you know, deciding to go into education. I followed in the footsteps of someone who I just truly adored in the way that she poured into all of the kids in the community. And I said, I want to be just like, you know, Mrs. Durkin. So, you know, 10, 15 years goes by and here I am now continuing to find ways to give back and to continue uplifting the next generation of kids.
Well, I saw you once again, more golden nuggets. And the one thing that you said, all great teachers once had a great teacher to impact them. And I love it because I had a guest, Dr. Andre Townsend, on my show, and he's superintendent of Benton Harbor Schools. And the one thing that he said that you also said, and that is pretty much, what will you go pro in other than sports? So kids need to have a backup plan, another plan, because everybody can't become a pro athlete. So thank you so much for sharing that and being a role model and taking the village to really impact students and make sure that we make a powerful impact, that champion. So you have so many wonderful people along your journey. Who inspired you to become the person that you are today?
Yeah, it's funny that you guys are asking that question, because I actually have a story that I wrote as a 9-year-old that was published in my small local newspaper. And it said, you know, my hero isn't Penny Hardaway for making the game winning shot. My hero is not Emmitt Smith for scoring the winning touchdown, but my hero is Herman Izzard, my mentor, because he's always there for me. So when I was in the first grade, I was one of the kicking and screaming and knocking over desk type kids, you know, just I didn't have an understanding of why my home life was so challenging and why I didn't have any positive male role models around as a second and third and fourth grader. But fortunately, my school had provided my mentor as a first grader, and Herman Izzard, to this day, he has been the rock in my entire life in terms of someone that was just a constant, always there, always checking on me. And he didn't have to do any of the things that he did. He actually broke all the rules for the mentoring program because he exceeded the amount of hours. And, you know, we weren't able to meet on weekends, but he did house visits without much permission from the programming. Permission with, you know, from my mother and grandmother, of course, but it got to a point where he knew that he had to go above and beyond in order to really get through to me at an early age. And that's basically what I model my own teaching around, what I model my own mentoring around. And ultimately, it'll also influence and impact me as a soon-to-be father. So, you know, you have people that you just can never forget. But not only that, there's something that you should take away from them to add to your own toolbox as well.
Indeed. Congratulations to you on becoming a father. I just love your story about your hero. Thank you for sharing your life story and being authentic in sharing. And it has and will continue to help someone. So speaking of helping someone, you know that I work with educators mostly, but also young people, and I have an impact on them. So tell us some wonderful advice that you would share with our listening audience, really to help those young people.
Yeah, I mean, everyone who has gone through something and over time feels that, you know, their suggestion for helping someone get through a problem or over, you know, a heartache is warranted, right? Like, if I also lost a parent or a grandparent, I can go and say to someone, hey, you know what? I know how you feel. I've been there. But ultimately, what we're doing is sometimes we're not giving that person the space to actually grieve in the way that they naturally should be able to grieve by assuming that they go through and feel the same way that we felt, right? Even though the situations may be similar. So one thing that I always tell young people is that I may not know exactly how you feel, but I'm willing to stick with you through the pain that you're experiencing, right? And that's ultimately what people did for me. No one really impacted me by saying, oh, I get it. I know what you're going through. I've been there. I didn't want to hear that as a kid or as a teenager. All I really wanted was just someone to stand by me and let me kind of mature and go through the process the same way that they went through the process, right? So, you know, the advice that I usually give is just find one thing that you're entirely passionate about, something that you think about and dream about, even when people laugh at you and say that it's something that you won't ever achieve, and stick to that, but also continue to learn from people that are willing to be there and pour into you. And when I say learn, I mean learn how to treat people, learn how to be persistent, learn how to be respectful, to have, you know, this overwhelming sense of integrity when you are just being completely honest with your own self and with your community, to be able to commit to something and actually stick it out and see it through, right? Too often do our young people, and even myself at times, we start something and we never finish it and see it through because we may hit, you know, a bump in the road or two at a time, right? And once you could kind of get to the point where you're willing to, you know, learn how to be persistent and live with integrity and be committed to something, ultimately, what we have to do is be grateful and have the sense of enthusiasm behind, you know, the goals that we have. No one wants to be around you or support you if you are dreading waking up in the morning and going to that workout, right? We want to have kids who, whether they're athletes or pursuing academics, we want you to be excited about the things that you actually, you know, are interested in, you know, because that positive energy ultimately will attract more positivity from other kids that are just as like-minded as you. You know, you may spark something in an adult that might be willing to then go above and beyond once they see you caring more about your own situation than they do. And at the same time, it just turns into this cycle of when you then become an adult, it'll be time for you to give back the same amount of energy that adults gave to you when you were coming up.
I tell you, awesome advice. And the one thing, if I could sing, I would sing the song, Stand By Me, no matter what. Stand by our kids and be there for them. Thank you so much. So tell us now about your challenges that you have faced and what helped you to overcome those challenges.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many experiences that I could kind of emphasize as it relates to even empowering me, right? That's the lesson that I've been learning over the last maybe 5 to 10 years, slowly but surely, that not having, you know, my father around due to just absenteeism and a poor relationship with my mom back in the day, I used to feel as if I wasn't worth it, right? Or I was a mistake, you know, or, you know, why wouldn't this man want to be in my life and things like that? So instead of feeling you know, the negative effects of it, I just turn it into, well, what kind of person do I want to be? Do I want to have a child or kids feel the same way about me in terms of the way that I felt at times about some of the men in my life, right? Or do I want to become the person that I wish I had as a kid? So, you know, aside from meeting my father at 18 and growing up in subsidized housing and not having, you know, the birthday cupcakes delivered to school like some of the other kids, some of those childhood memories that were somewhat, you know, just, you know, not available to me, right? I didn't have the opportunity to ever believe in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny because at 6 and 7, I was the one carrying the bag of clothes from the church van into the house for my younger siblings. So I had to grow up really fast and learn to just, you know, give back to my own siblings before I was even old enough to, you know, to go on to high school myself. So it got to a point where, you know, seeing my mother drop, well, not seeing her drop out of high school, but knowing that my mom had dropped out of high school as a 16-year-old, and understanding that my grandparents were her crutch, that they could have easily just said, you know what, you want to throw things away, and they could have allowed her to go on that path. But again, this whole sentiment of sticking by our young people is the only reason why my mom was able to then, you know, turn her life around as a teenager and then have me at 25. And, you know, just seeing her go through her challenges with not having the greatest education in order to then move up in society in terms of employment, I've always told myself that I'm going to finish as much education and provide, you know, an opportunity for my mom to live through me so that I can just kind of give it back to her. Everything that she's done for me, it may not be monetary, but I owe her so much towards, you know, allowing me to still have the best childhood that she was able to provide. So, you know, some of the only other challenges that I really even care to speak on are more so just things that didn't go my way, right? Like, you know, everyone wants to go to college and play football and make it to the NFL. Whereas when I got hurt in college, instead of looking at that like a curse, I just turned it around and said, there's got to be a bigger purpose for why I can't, you know, run and perform the way I used to. So I just took that in. I started, you know, teaching high school students and even younger students the importance of never giving up on yourself and finding something else to have a dream in. And lastly, as you mentioned, the gentleman who, the superintendent perhaps that you referred to earlier, you know, there was a commercial that said everyone will go pro in something other than sports. So it was more of a statement as opposed to, you know, what will you go pro in after you graduate, right? So it's like, it's got to be, you got to see it, you got to believe in it, and you just have to sometimes realize that things that were struggles in your life, you got to find a way to turn it into a strength and something that will motivate and drive you.
Well, I tell you, you have shared so authentically, and I had no idea that you would share about your father, and so many of our kids deal with that, but you took something that was a challenge, a struggle for you, and you turned it into something positive. So thank you for sharing that. And I definitely hope that our young people will glean from that and look at how they can take their challenges and turn them into successes for their own lives. So tell us now about your greatest success that you've experienced.
So it's funny that this question, I love answering the question about success, because success is relative, right? Like, I think that the most successful thing that I've ever had was seeing other kids become successful, right? Or accomplish or achieve. So to me, it's not the fact that, you know, financially I may be doing a little better than I was the year before or years earlier. It's not even the, you know, the fact that I've been able to get featured on, you know, Fox 5 New York and all these other mediums and things like that. To me, none of that stuff really matters if you're not physically giving back to kids. So for me, the biggest success has literally been, you know, being able to continue relationships with children that I've worked with over the last 10 years. So when I get a phone call or a message out of the blue from a mom that says, you know, my son is got accepted into this school, or, you know, my son started playing this sport because, you know, he wanted to be like you. I mean, that is something that you can't even measure how that makes you feel in terms of just the gratitude and the fulfillment that it provides you with as someone who is determined to continue to give back to kids. So if I had to give you an example of something that was a bit more tangible, it would probably just be the idea that, you know, I've been able to sell, you know, a few thousand books at a time of the Crunchy Life series. That's always exciting because, you know, you as a, you know, as an amazing writer and author and contributor, you out of all people would probably know that most self-published authors, you know, on average don't get around to selling more than maybe 200 of their books in their lifetime, right? So I think the Crunchy Life series, now that it's extended to 8 books, is probably, you know, the biggest accomplishment that I've had. But again, you know, me measuring success is basically, you know, based on how many kids come back and tell me that they're thankful for something that I've done for them.
You are exactly right. Success is relative. And a lot of people think that it's all about how much wealth you can acquire, how many things you can attain, your popularity, but it is not. It is really about making the impact and giving back. That is the success. And I thank you again for sharing that. Can you tell us a little bit more about Crunchy Life series? Because you are doing some amazing things, and definitely I am just so proud of you. And I know that you will continue to have much success. So tell us just a little bit more about how that came to be.
Yeah. So this is something that I love talking about. As a reading teacher, I have had teachers tell me, you know, such and such, they don't want to read, or such and such, they hate reading even. I've even heard that before. I've even had some of my boys and some of my young girls in D.C. or in Hartford, Connecticut, tell me like, Mr. Morning, man, reading is just boring. And it got to the point where I don't think kids really understand what reading even means, right? I think they think it means you have to finish a worksheet, or you have to, you know, have something in your hand and look productive, right? But reading is really just communicating, and it's really just being able to connect with the world, right? And when you learn that that's the point of reading and being able to access information and be able to, you know, pursue your own passions more knowledgeably, I think that is, you know, the message that we need to drive. So I have to say all that to get the Crunchy Life in short, right? But the Crunchy Life Kids series was created as a way for Black and Brown students to see themselves in literature, right? Which is on the surface level of it all. But more than anything, the content of the Crunchy Life series is, in my professional opinion, a bit more dynamic than most stories written about Black and Brown children. So the stories are universal in that they have themes of, you know, persevering and never giving up and loving your family members and things like that. But at the same time, there is an underlying concept of imagination and this whole fairy tale concept from, you know, folks who have read the Three Little Pigs, folks who have read and loved The Gingerbread Man, you know, people who've read and loved the different renditions of Cinderella, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, any of the traditional fairy tales that you've heard, even as far as Beauty and the Beast, right? These stories are timeless in the fact that you can see yourself even in these stories, and you could become any one of those characters, whether you're watching it on film or if you're reading it in text. So what I did was I used some of the story or the plot or some of the subplots from some of our famous traditional fairy tales, but I added the experience, the natural, genuine experience of, you know, Black and Brown children, and I'm telling some of these stories through their lens, right? So for example, in book 5 of the Crunchy Life series, there is a scenario where one of the boys on the opposing basketball team is driving by all of our boys and he's scoring points, right? So Kelvin can't stop the kid because Kelvin's legs are made out of straw, right? And Jamal can't stop the kid from scoring. as if Jamal's legs are made out of sticks. So he still gets blown by, but not as easily as Kelvin. But then Charles, or the main character, stops the kid on the opposing team from scoring because his legs are more so like bricks, the same way the three little pigs had to switch up their housing when the big bad wolf was trying to blow their housing down, right? So the other dynamic is that there is a ton of untold, lesser-known African-American history built into the Crunchy Life series, which is just the most, oh, man, it is simply just the most fulfilling and rich, you know, opportunity for kids to learn about the truths about our people, right? We don't teach about the Harlem Renaissance in mainstream curriculum. We don't teach about, you know, the Great Migration in our curriculum. We don't teach about most of the things that we have come to realize as adults, right? The African-American communities that were thriving before, you know, they were intentionally destroyed by white America during, you know, the late 1800s and early 1900s. You know, most people hear about Tulsa and Black Wall Street in their 30s and 40s, but no one really talks about how Seneca Falls or Seneca Village in New York and, you know, in Central Park was a predominantly African-American community before, you know, it was destroyed. So we explore those topics and we connect the past to the present. And we talk about, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, and Colin Kaepernick is on the front of one of the Crunchy Life covers with Charles as a cartoon figure. So, you know, I go there with it, you know, and kids, you know, both Black and white, they see the truth in it and they see how universal it really is. And it makes everyone, you know, want to be a better kid at the end of the day.
Well, definitely, Glenn, I say thank you again for sharing your fairy tales, writing your books, and just sharing your story from a different perspective. And you're so right. Reading is communicating, it's connected, it's kids accessing information. It gives you power. It takes you places you have never been or you dream about going to, and it gives you knowledge you never knew that you would acquire. So thank you once again. Dr. Essie Speaks Educational Consulting is all about sharing resources and advice. How do you think that you're going to continue to help people in the future? What do you foresee?
Yeah, so we are on our way to looking for grants for our nonprofit that we are that we've incorporated. Generation Forward is 501c3. We are fully tax exempt and we are ready to go. Some of our smaller projects so far have just simply included book drives and providing resources to kids across, you know, up and down the East Coast with diverse literature. But my wife's vision is more so turning, you know, Generation Forward, moving the next generation ahead into a community center where we'll do outreach for, you know, job and skills training for teenagers and parents in need. We'll be providing, you know, after school care to kids who, you know, may not be able to afford programming and such. And then just providing kids with opportunities to travel, to get outside of their hometowns and to, you know, to see what it's like on the other side of the bridge in any case, right? But that's more so the lifelong goal, and God willing, it can actually, you know, start shaping itself and taking place sooner than we would even anticipate, you know, if we continue to do the work and connect with the right individuals.
Well, definitely. I say good luck to you. And I know there is so much greater success ahead for you and all that you're doing, you and your wife, and you inspire me. So definitely thank you for being on my show today. Tell the listening audience, how can they get in contact with you?
Yes. So I am through all things literature, through all things parent workshops and anything that you may consider to move our young people ahead could be found at my website at Glenn with one N, Glenn Morning with the U, Morning with the U, glennmorning.com. It's pretty, you know, neatly organized there to where you can learn more about Crunchy Life, where you can see more about our African-American past and present truths, language arts curriculum, social studies curriculum that we've created, as well as any of the workshops for parents that we facilitate. And we've got some new projects coming out with two new characters, Kayla and Daniel, who will be time traveling back in time to save you know, African-American historical figures from not becoming who they are, right? So they have to time travel back to 1937 to make sure Dr. King gets over stage fright for him to become the actual Dr. King that we knew him as, right? So we're going to be going on a crazy, awesome journey for some new, with some new characters. But glennmorning.com is where everything is. And I just appreciate everyone for showing their support and the, you know, and the appreciation for some of the things that we have going on.
Amazing projects ahead. Thank you once again for being on my show to share with the listeners. Continue to do the amazing things that you're doing, and may God continue to bless you with making an impact.
All right. Thank you so much. And I will continue to follow your journey as well. Continue to inspire the folks like me out here. And again, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you this morning.
You're more than welcome. And as I always say, education is hard work, but it is also heart work. Thanks for listening. And remember to visit my website at www.dressespeaks.com, where you can find all the links to my podcast, my social media platforms, books, and so much more. Join me each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Dr. Essie Speaks Education. Until then, be safe, be blessed, and make a positive difference in the lives of others.